You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah. Welcome back. What an afternoon it's already been. We've talked to the head basketball coach at the University of Kentucky, Mark Pope. And now we change gears a little bit to college football. This is a headline from The Athletic by Scott Docterman. How NIL impacts NFL draft decisions. That is guaranteed money. Scott, always great to talk to you. Covers college football for The Athletic. And really interested as the draft is just days away to get into this. So, Scott, many, many thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Paul. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you. So many issues to talk about. But let's start with the story you did for The Athletic. I mean, certainly everybody is geared into the draft, but put it all together for us. I know you laid it out eloquently in this piece, but for the audience who didn't quite or hasn't had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah, when we're looking at the draft this year, you're going to hear a lot about the later rounds, about there not being as many quality prospects or as deep of a prospect pool as we've had in the past. And a lot of that comes down to underclassmen. There were only 58 underclassmen who entered the draft, which was the lowest since 2010. But then when you start to look at the reasons why, and now you have NIL, which is figured into these draft day decisions for a lot of players. Some of them are the younger ones. Others are the older ones who went through the draft process or got the exploration back in December and found out that they were fifth, sixth, seventh round grades. And they figured that they could make as much money or more money coming back to school, Paul, than they could if they went to the NFL. Plus, it's guaranteed money when you're talking NIL, and it's a lot more of it. I started looking at some of the signing bonuses for seventh round picks, for instance. And right now, the average for a seventh round, according to SpotTrack, for a seventh round pick is around $98,000. And then you're talking about it because it's a bonus that gets an additional 22% tax. And then your regular taxes on top of that, you're cutting yourself down to about $60,000. Most good college football players at Power Five institutions, whether the SEC, Big Ten, or otherwise, are making, you know, $200,000 to $250,000 easy if they're a starter, if not a lot more than that. So they figured out as a business decision, it makes more sense to stay in school, get probably better coaching in some situations, and it's not as cutthroat because if they get hurt or if they just don't perform well, they could get cut immediately. Whereas in college, you're going to start, you're going to look good for the most part, and you're going to make more money.
It's interesting, Scott. I'm sure you've already come to this conclusion that we finally found something that we could all agree on with NIL. This is a very positive indicator. As you dug into this story, that's a very low amount. I know that you can't predict because, you know, we see so many young people in the portal and oftentimes really with nowhere to go. But is it your best judgment this trend is going to continue?
I think some of it's going to continue, and I think a lot of it for the younger underclassmen, I expect it to continue because in the past what we've seen, and we're maybe going back 15 or 20 years, there have been a lot of third-year guys, juniors, redshirt sophomores who just want to get paid, and they don't really care that it's only going to be a little bit of an amount, but if they figure if they make the team, they're going to make a lot of money. Well, what I'm hearing from some some borderline players is, look, the NFL will be there next year, but I can stay in school and get a little bit more developed and get that money. So it's not really this either or that it once was, but now this is a positive trend because they're staying in school a little longer. You hope that they can get a degree out of this. And for a lot of these teams and programs, you have a deeper pool of players rather than some that's jumping off way too early, gets cut in training camp, and their football careers are over, now they can at least get some money while they're there and possibly earn a degree.
Scott Dockerman with us. Scott, I'm curious about something because NIL took a while to get going, and there were certain places, I remember Michigan being slow to come around, other places. You've covered a lot of the Big Ten, and how would you compare, I know you haven't studied every other league, but just where the Big Ten is right now in terms of what else you know about NIL around the country?
It hasn't been as at the forefront necessarily as you would see, say, in the SEC. I mean, that came out guns blazing, or Miami was certainly pretty high. But I think everybody's trying to figure out what's the best way to use it. Is it on your own players? Is it on other players? And then I think what we saw are certain marks. At Michigan, for instance, last year, they used it on mostly their own talent. And then you look at Ohio State this year, they decided that they're going to stock up on some really good players and bring them in. And in Iowa, for instance, that was kind of the poster child for this story because they had 8 or 9 guys that were really in that territory of maybe they could be a 4th-round guy, maybe they could be a 7th-round guy. Well, Iowa decided to use almost its entire budget on bringing back all those players and then save a little bit on the side for possibly a quarterback. So that's the Big Ten is moving in that direction. I think most of the bigger programs are maintaining it kind of similar to what you see in the SEC, but I think there's also a lot of hesitancy because they don't know what's going to happen in the next, say, 3, 4, 5 years, and they don't know if this is going to go in-house per se, or if it's going to be continue to be an outside enterprise.
Scott, speaking of that, I haven't been on the front line like you have in being in Iowa and having covered that program in the Big Ten, but can you give us some view from there about Cade Proctor and just the bizarre odyssey that this story has been for really a couple of years now?
Yeah, it's been a really wild ride with Caden Proctor in Iowa. I mean, he's a local player. He's from 2 hours west of Iowa City and was committed, and everybody thought it was going well. And then late in the process, he decided to take a couple of visits that ultimately ended up at Alabama. And then when Nick Saban retired and he entered the portal, it was kind of the view that the prodigal son had returned. And there was a lot of excitement. I know there was some grassroots fundraising through the collective that, hey, these are the types of players we want to get and bring him back. And I know they were very competitive with him even in the early stages before he signed with Alabama. But within 3 to 4 weeks, it just didn't seem like the fit was there. And he was working hard in the weight room, I heard. That part wasn't there. But there seemed to be some disconnect with him and his teammates. And ultimately, right before spring break, he decided to go on spring break with some of his former Alabama teammates, came back, and a day before football practice was supposed to start, decided he wanted to switch and go to Alabama. It wasn't well received, as you can imagine, here at Iowa. And this is probably one of those examples, Paul, that we'll see when NIL goes before Congress and changes are going to be made as, you know, how could you pay a player, comes on campus, and then 6 weeks later changes his mind? You know, what does this do for the businesses and the fans who kind of pour their money and soul into this type of situation only to get spurned halfway through it? So I think this is a really a fascinating development in NIL, and it's one that, again, we'll see probably on Capitol Hill at some point.
Yeah, I don't know what all the agreements are, but in Caden's case, you mentioned the grassroots. I mean, a lot of people worked hard to make sure that he made that decision. Is that money gone now?
Luckily for them, no. It went through the kind of the two channels that they have here. One is kind of the what I'll call kind of the socialist wing, where you do a bunch of charity work, everybody gets paid the same. And then there's kind of the business wing, where certain businesses sponsor the athletes. And that's where this money came from, which was a longtime benefactor and donor who ended up paying him. But it was a pretty big chunk right off the bat. And so they were a little flustered about it. But, you know, through communication, people don't really understand really where their money's going. But when they hear they have the opportunity to get a 5-star tackle in the transfer portal. And, you know, then that's when you have regular fans start donating money. And that's not exactly expendable money for anybody, let alone, you know, Joe Fan in Iowa or wherever. And so that's when they got really frustrated and said, well, I'm not going to give this money to NIL if it's just going to, this kid's going to leave anytime. I think that is a fear factor that some collectives have. And that's something that will be continue to be discussed and until it eventually goes under, it goes in-house.
Speaking of money, Scott, I don't think anyone's ever seen a rush like what we saw a couple of months ago with Ohio State. I know there's been a lot of numbers that have been thrown around. Is there any way to land on what that all that cost?
From what I hear is millions, and nobody will say the exact number, but when you do go out and you get the players that they've gotten, the running back, you know, from Ole Miss, Judkins, who's going to be terrific, the some of the other players, that's what happens when you lose to your rival a couple of years in a row. And it kind of, that rivalry got kind of overlooked for a while because Ohio State had dominated it. But once you lose three straight years, it's so unsettling that they figure they're going to have to do something about it. And so they were able to raise significant money and more than most of the teams in the Big Ten. So whether it's, you know, in the neighborhood of $8 million that they raised, that's the number that we've been hearing, but you don't know because again, it's collectives and it's not subject to what we can obtain. But they did have a pretty nice spree and they were able to, you know, Caleb Downs and some others. I mean, it really was impactful for Ohio State. And I think that they are clearly the team to beat in the Big Ten going into this year.
Yeah, I mean, they got Caleb Downs, who was one of the most valuable, if not the most valuable player at Alabama, underclassman. They got Julian Sayin, who was going to be the starting quarterback. You mentioned Judkins. It was really unbelievable. Scott Dockerman, many, many thanks. Really appreciate your reporting and you joining us here.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Paul. I really appreciate it.
It was fantastic. What a great job of reporting there in the Athletic. Scott joining us, and we are going to take a short break. Billy Lucci a little bit later on what happened in Texas over the weekend with the spring game, and your phone calls right around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back. Mike is up next as we can go back to the call. Mike is in North Carolina. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for accepting my call.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to get your thoughts on, there's been a lot of conversation recently about Florida State, Clemson, fighting this GOR agreement in court, trying to get out, hopefully, maybe to move somewhere else, and how that might affect the ACC. But I'm a lifetime UNC Tar Heel fan, and I come in peace. I know you're a disciple of the SEC, and that's great. But I've been a Tar Heel fan seemingly forever. I went to my first Tar Heel game February 14, 1968, against South Carolina. And been a Tar Heel fan ever since. But, Paul, what do you think? If there was a chance that this GOR gets broken and it gives ACC teams opportunity to leave, do you think there could be a eventual home for Carolina in the SEC? And your thoughts on how they would do in football and in basketball?
Yeah, Mike, I'll give you just what I hear from people. Nothing of this is substantive, but if that scenario occurred, there would be two major suitors, assuming it was legal, of course. And if you went to the Big Ten or if you went to the SEC and said, okay, who are your favorites? Who do you want more than any other school? It is the opinion of those who follow this closely that North Carolina would be number one on both leagues' lists. There are a lot of reasons for it, and I think too often people say, well, they look at national championships, and those are not the most important thing. Number one, North Carolina is a rich school with great tradition in various sports. It's also a fantastic university of academic learning, and it's in a very large state, which means a great deal. So I think for all of those reasons, North Carolina would be the number one pick. And then the real questions start. And we're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC. There's nobody else that's in this conversation. Is it Clemson? Is it Florida State? Is it a wild card? And here's another thing to consider. Is there someone that North Carolina would like to piggyback with? Because I think North Carolina is the most important player here. And I hear some rumors, but I'm not convinced that I know the answer to who would be next. But clearly, Carolina would be the one that everybody wants.
Well, I'm a Tar Heel fan. I'm not an ACC fan. I say to hell with the rest of them. UNC needs to do what's best for themselves.
Right.
And I understand. I understand that football is driving everything.
It is. And I'll also add, having just been to both Austin and Norman in the last couple of weeks, you're talking about massive universities with not only tradition but fan bases. And what we're talking about here is support. And I mean, I live in the same state that you do, and I hear more about North Carolina than any other school because of its position. And I think the real debate, and the academics do matter. I mean, the Big Ten is very much an AAU-dominated league. The SEC is very, has a lot stronger academics than I think maybe the peanut gallery gives it. But it's a great question. And there's one other thing to factor in. The ACC is prepared for this. It's not about the lawsuits going on. The ACC wouldn't have taken SMU, Cal, or Stanford if it didn't see a day that this could happen. And the reason they did that has to do with television contracts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but your personal feelings, I see where they could be, reasonably competitive in basketball. Football is a totally different story. I even admit that they're probably going to be outclassed by several of the schools. I think they'd be very competitive in baseball, tremendously competitive in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Football is a totally different
story.
Well,
yeah, football is the issue, this is a dangerous league. I wouldn't, that's not a concern, because what happens is that once you go to a Big Ten, and I'll use the Big Ten and the SEC, the amount of money that you start bringing in goes up considerably, and you have more room to grow, and I don't have any doubt that North Carolina would fit in well. Certainly it depends on when, and this is not something that's going to happen immediately, but it could happen sooner than I think people believe. Hey, thank you very much for the call. That is a really, what he asked there is a question that I get all the time. Because I think it was Matt Baker who said a couple of hours ago, this is not going to court. The ACC more than likely does not want all of its contracts to be litigated. I mean, we've already seen where they are. And at some point, they'll try to preserve the league and if they contain the damage. If they lost a couple of schools, it wouldn't be catastrophic. If they lost four or six, it would be Armageddon. Thank you for the call. Shane is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Shane.
Good afternoon to the greatest of all time, Paul Feinbaum.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hope you had a good weekend. Glad you're back. I've just got a little quick thing here. I got three new nicknames for three of our callers, if I may.
Please do.
Elliot from Ohio, the Big Ten, will never be stronger than the SEC. So your new nickname is the damn stupid. John from St. Louis.
So far, I like this call.
Richard Nixon. Get rid of your Richard Nixon mask because you look so damn dumb. And Jim, I wasn't going to include you because you think everybody piggybacks on you. But after Friday, you're a so damn scum of the earth. And that's all I've got today, Paul.
Well, thank you very much. We got right to it, didn't we? Joey is calling next. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Paul, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon.
How'd your vacation go?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about that. You had a caller last week. His name was AJ. He wanted to come up here and pet my dogs, right?
That's right,
well,
Joey.
Well, he didn't show up. My dogs ain't been petted about 6.5 days.
How can you not pet your dogs?
I got twins for him.
So how's Manna doing or whatever you're...
She's over here at the kitchen sink right now.
Hello?
Hey, she said hello. She went and colored her hair and she wanted it red and it tanned it up orange.
So is that your name right? Is it Manna?
I
want
to talk about old Jim. He wants to talk about these women.
Yeah.
Melissa Lane and Lawrence Rutledge.
Yeah.
Is saying the way they are. Because they're pretty. Hey, but the last thing I heard him say, he liked a bunch of men riding his back.
He likes a bunch of men? What was that?
Oh, yeah, he want a bunch of men on his back is the way he said it.
Oh, okay.
But he always downs women.
That would kind of
broke
you.
Wouldn't
that
be, was,
that, would broke, that would break his back, not broke back.
Hey, well, anyway, you think Alabama going to be any good?
Yeah, I think they'll be really good.
Well, it's got me spooked a little bit after that first game. Then the second game, we going to be in hot water.
What are you worried about, Joey?
Man, I don't know. I'm worried about the defense. I ain't worried about the offense. I worry about the defense.
Well, the defense will be, I mean, the defense has lost a couple of pretty key players, but don't be worried, Joey. By the way, anything else going on at your place? Any with your menagerie?
No. She's mad because the next door neighbor don't live there no more. She's taking care of their dogs, and we're having to buy the dog food, and he ain't bringing it over here. That's her story.
I mean, how much money, I mean, we have one dog and it nearly breaks me.
How much money we spend on animals?
Yeah, I want to know, how much do you spend on dogs a week?
It costs a lot.
I mean, you must buy dog food by the ton.
Yeah, I got to buy about maybe one or two 40-pound bags a week.
Where do you find a 40-pound bag?
Well, it's about like 38 pounds, something like that. You know, you get at Walmart.
Oh, you can get them at Walmart? Wow. You know that?
Yeah, we go to Walmart and get it.
My question is, how do you carry it?
How do I carry it?
You got to pick that thing up and put it in the truck, don't you?
I'm pretty big dude.
How big?
Well, I'm about 5'9", but about 208 pounds. But I can bench press about 275.
Oh my goodness! I didn't know that.
But I still want AJ to come over and pet my dogs.
Well, I'll tell AJ. We haven't heard from AJ yet, Joey. Listen, you take care of yourself. We're up against the break. We are back right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
At this early Sunday morning, the SEC Men's Golf Championship. You can catch it right here. And if you want to catch up with what's happening with Texas A&M, nobody better than our friend Billy Lucci. Billy, it's always great to catch up with you after a weekend of A&M football under a new coach, a new regime, a new era. So tell us all about it as we say hello to you.
You know, it's been an interesting spring out there watching a team. You know, I've been familiar with Mike Elko since 2018, you know, when Jimbo Fisher hired him, and he was fielding some pretty dang good A&M defenses, and then, of course, followed him closely at Duke. And we talked regularly, I guess, Paul, on this show during the coaching search. That was a whirlwind. But just watching him throughout this offseason has been pretty fascinating, just in the differences between him and Jimbo. Completely different people, completely different coaching styles. And I think Elko has really embraced where college football is today, and you know better than anyone how much it's changed in the last few years. So all the off-field stuff, the roster management, the hires, the portal, keeping players, recruiting, all that stuff I've been really encouraged by. But the product on the field, we know, is what matters most. And I guess the thing I was most fascinated by was to watch this team a month ago. Maybe not so much during a split squad scrimmage at Kyle Field on Saturday, but say the scrimmage a few days before that, just to kind of watch how far the team has progressed from start of spring till the end is that probably had my attention as much as anything, not just individuals, but the team as a whole. And maybe in particular, Connor Wigman, who started spring ball pretty gimpy on that broken foot that ended his season last year during that Auburn game, and to see where he came in terms of mobility from the beginning of spring till end, I think it was a great decision to say he might not be at 100%, but Mike Elko and Colin Klein need him out there practicing this spring if he's going to be QB1. I think just from talking to him last week, I think that did wonders, too, in terms of speeding up his recovery, in terms of getting that strength back in that foot and ankle.
What kind of weapons, Billy, does he have around him?
That's a great question, Paul. And listen, I think there's a lot to work with, but I think if you really dig into it, you realize there's a lot of unproven weapons. And they're still active in the portal right now at wide receiver. They had a big name, right, I think, left campus today from Penn State, their leading receiver the last couple of years. Tight end, Donovan Green, you know, was injured, you know, starter last year in August, so he'll be coming back from an ACL. Trey Watson, the transfer from Fresno State, has been a weapon. But really, when you look, talk the weapons, you talk the names, right? You talk about Moose Muhammad. You talk about Noah Thomas, Jahdae Walker. They technically returned three starters at receiver, kind of. You had Anaya Smith, Evan Stewart. That's a lot to replace. Remember the name Cyrus Allen? He's a guy that came in via the portal that I think turned heads this spring. But they're still looking, I think, for that major impact at receiver. They've got guys. We know what Moose can do. Noah, I think the key is to stay healthy. He had two touchdowns in the spring game. He's a really exciting weapon. And at running back, I think quietly I'm sensing they were really pleased with that position this spring. You have a former five-star in Reuben Owens who had a big run in the spring game. Le'Veon Moss has really bulked up and it certainly looks the part of SEC back, and he's flashed it a little bit. And then if you, Amari Daniels is your third guy, I think they're really comfortable with where they are there. But it's a lot of unproven. You know, you're not returning Devon Achane. You're not returning Isaiah Spiller or Travion Williams. That's the recent lineage at running back, and we knew what Anaya Smith was last year. So there's a lot of, okay, these guys can play, but let's see if they can elevate and be game changers in the SEC, because you know with the defenses you're playing against, you need that to score points in this league, no matter how good your QB or scheme are.
Hey, Billy, speaking of defense, that's certainly where many are counting on the Aggies to continue to try to, you know, improve. What did you see there? What have you heard all spring?
Well, the D-line has kind of, even without Shamar Turner, who missed the spring, who came back for his senior year, passed up the draft, even without him out there, I think this defense looked really impressive all spring. And to me, the D-line, that was kind of expected. It's that back end that kind of, like what I said about running back, I'll say that about the Aggie secondary, which really cost them at times last year. If you think about Ole Miss, you think about the Bama game, you think about LSU, they just couldn't match up with those game-breaking elite receivers. They just couldn't, you know, they weren't able to do it on the back end. No matter how good you are up front, no matter how good they stop the run, that position's probably, to me, the most improved. And that was even without Dez Ricks, the transfer from Alabama, who missed most of the spring. He'll be healthy and ready to go. They signed a five-star corner in Terry Bussey. So that position, to me, from my opinion, was the most improved I saw on the field. And if you can do that with that D-line, and I don't think he's talked about enough, Paul, and if you watch that spring game, adding Nick Scorton from Purdue, the Big Ten's leading sacker last year, to this defensive front, that could be an absolute game changer for Elko in year one. And he had a great year of defense in year one at A&M last time. He did the same thing at Notre Dame in his first year, his only year there under Brian Kelly, and he did the same thing at Duke. So they added a linebacker from Pitt today in the portal just a few hours ago, and I think he'll compete to start alongside Torian York. So the defense is exciting. It's exciting to think about what they'll be able to do year one. The offense, I think, again, we're not going to know till we see it in terms of which of those skill guys are going to really step up and prove to be playmakers. It's kind of again, like I said, I don't think we'll know it until we see them take the field against Notre Dame.
Billy, finally, on an off-the-field subject, as you know, you live out there, the excitement from Austin continues to build, same for Norman. Just how are the Aggies, the people you talk to every day and the fans that you converse with, how are they reacting and anticipating what's about to happen here on July 1st?
I thought you were going to do it, Paul. Like, you normally on the way out, you get me with a good Longhorn or Sooner question, but that's legit. How it's always legit, but that's a more serious than fun one, right? How are the Aggies? I think they long got over, and you and I talked regularly when they were coming in, right? And you told me, you know, you guys are going to be the biggest beneficiary, meaning us talking about it. And we have gotten a lot of mileage out of it. But now that it's here, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't get asked, either whether it's for tickets to that game from people with no ties to A&M and Tech for Texas. I had a Saturday Night Live cast member ask me if they could get tickets to that game that grew up in Texas. I mean, it is, I'm telling you, not a day goes by that I don't hear about it. And I went to the A&M Texas game last month in Austin baseball. And if I had a nickel for every Longhorn that came up wanting to talk about that game. So the Aggies didn't, they always loved having that SEC thing over Texas and to a lesser extent, OU. Number one, they just took a lot of pride in being in a better league and being in the league. But they also knew the recruiting advantages it held. And look, the Aggies did not do a good enough job over that last 12 years of capitalizing on that edge. But once the sting of, hey, you're losing that advantage and Texas and OU are joining the party, they're moving back into the neighborhood you tried to leave. You know, you moved into a better neighborhood and then they both moved back in. Outside, once that they got over that, you know, and it eventually happened, they start realizing, oh my gosh, we're going to get Texas at Kyle Field every other year. We're going to play not just one game during the year against them in baseball, but three. We're going to meet them on the hardwood. I think everybody's gotten really fired up, and that football game in particular is going to be the single biggest college sporting event I believe this state has seen in I don't even know how long. I guess maybe, I mean, to be played in the state, I was going to say Texas playing for a national title in the Rose Bowl and a couple years later with Colt McCoy, but those weren't played in state. I think it'll be the biggest sporting event the state has seen, and I don't even know since when. You know, it's going to be not just the hottest ticket, but the bragging rights and, gosh, what it means for momentum for these two programs moving forward. I mean, for Steve Sarkisian and Texas, is it going to be what stands between them and an SEC title game? Is it going to be what stands between him and calling the season a success or disappointment? And then we know what would be out there to gain for Mike Elko and A&M in year one with him at the helm. So the stakes are going to be incredible no matter what the records are.
Just a second left, but you know what the obvious question is, can you or do you mind just sharing with us that SNL cast member right here? Just between us.
You could probably see my Instagram. You'd see him. But he grew up in Pflugerville and said he grew up just loving the rivalry, loving the A&M-Texas rivalry. And about the time he moved on, you know, out of high school and stuff. And believe it or not, Johnny Manziel's high school, Kerrville Tyvee, ended his high school career, he said. So small world. That all took place in Kansas City prior to a Chiefs game back in November. So, yeah, a lot. And he won't be the only one. I'm sure McConaughey will find his way to Kyle that day, don't you think?
Doesn't he always?
He and Roger Clemens will be there rooting hard for one side.
I just saw Roger on TV the other day. He could use a makeup job before he shows up at Kyle Field.
He needs to get those frosted tips back.
Hey, Billy, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Billy Lucci joining us.
Hi, Paul.
From College Station as we head to the break. We'll be right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Expired is up next. How are you, Expired?
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Billy Lucci, I thought that did a really good job explaining how most of us Aggies feel like the year is going to go. I think defensively, as long as we stay healthy, going to be pretty damn strong, Paul. Offensively, it's kind of up in the air. You just never know. Our offensive line was so bad last year. got a new coach from what we, you know, anytime you bring in a new offensive line coach with a bunch of new coaches, you have optimism, and of course you get fed a bunch of crap. You don't, but you just don't know until you start playing. And you know, we're going to start out against Notre Dame, so it's going to be something to see. I know this; they've done a really good job of filling holes through the portal, and Billy kind of explained all that. But I just wanted to tell you, I'm very excited. A lot of Aggies are super excited about the year and the positivity we have heard about Aggie football.
Yeah, I think it's, listen, the schedule is pretty brutal. When you, I mean, that first game is so difficult, but it's also an opportunity to lift off. And you can't get carried away with the last game, although we all know how important it is. But I'm pretty impressed with what Mike Elko has done.
Yeah. Paul, I wanted to also explain to you that Friday when you weren't here, the NFO got launched. The new Feinbaum order got launched. And I just wanted to kind of let you know what that means and explain it to you. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
Well, people got it kind of misconstrued. It's an organization on this show of callers. It's not young versus old, Paul. It's not young versus old. It's good versus bad, okay? The NFO is the good callers, such as me and AJ and a lot of the new guys that have come up in the system, and it doesn't rid, we don't want to rid of the great callers such as Legend and Joe, the handsome one, and all those good guys. But we do want to rid and stay away from the idiots, okay? The lying idiots such as Jim, okay, such as Elliot, such as this new idiot from South Carolina named Chris, okay, and John from St. Louis and all them knuckleheads, okay? The NFO will get those guys because we're coming for them, Paul. We're coming for them. But we also want to uphold the great tradition of this great show, such as Legend and Joe and Larry, of course. And I just wanted to let you kind of know what was going on. You weren't here Friday for the launch of it. Alyssa was, and she did a wonderful job, even though she got attacked by that yellow-toothed picklehead named Jim. But she did a wonderful job of taking your place. And, Paul, when you do retire, I think she'd fill in quite nicely.
Let's just go ahead and name her tomorrow so Jim can deal with her.
He'll deal with her, all right. Put her down, poor girl. That's someone's daughter, Jim, you freaking idiot. Go eat some meatloaf in your mom's basement.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.